Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Young Pyromancers podcast. I am your host, Ezra. Joining me is repeating co-host and a friend of the cast, Ethan. Ethan, how are you doing?
I am doing good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. We are back into spoiler season, and just your initial thoughts on Kaldheim. What's jumped out at you? What are you excited about in this Norse mythology themed set?
I'm not too interested in much of the gods because I'm gonna be honest, some of them are okay looking, but the rest aren't as good. They just seem, in some cases, a little underpowered. But I do like that Alrun's empathy. I like it a lot.
Alrun's epiphany. extra tone spells.
Things.
Ethan's notoriety for not being able to pronounce words, I'm sure, is
well known.
Well, right before we jump in, Ethan, I forgot to mention, I hope you're okay with this, but we're talking about dumb selling mistakes, and I may have mentioned the selling of Uro at $15.
Oh, no, you don't have to say that. You don't have to.
Okay, we don't talk about that.
I've been guilt tripped so much by everyone. I just know I don't. And I got an Ugin from, what was the reprint set? I
forgot. M21. You haven't sold that one yet, right?
Yes, I have not.
Never going to sell it.
It's literally just sitting on my mantle in like three sleeves. I'm never touching it. I'm just going to keep proxying it.
Just let it accrue value over time.
Exactly.
All right, so we're going to talk about some Kaldheim spoilers. The preview trailer and the ensuing spoilers over the last couple of days have been, well, interesting to say the least. There have been some crazy cards spoiled that might be affecting some of our favorite formats. So today we're going to be talking about some of these coolest new spoilers and how we think they're going to affect Commander, Draft, Standard, and Historic. Basically the main formats we are playing, and I'm sure most people are as well. First up, we've got a card just previewed today. This is Replicating Ring. Ethan, you want to read Replicating Ring?
I will. Replicating Ring, 3 colorless. Snow Artifact. Tap, add 1 mana of any color. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a Knight counter on Replicating Ring. Then if it has 8 or more Knight counters on it, remove all of them and create 8 colorless Snow Artifact tokens named Replicating Ring with a tap, add 1 mana of any color.
Wow. your thoughts on Replicating Ring?
I mean, if you can have, like, an untap and tapping thing, this can be utterly insane. Like, this can just
tap on tap, or
yeah, that could just get so crazy. But if you don't, it's a decent mana source because it can add for any color.
Wait, am I reading this wrong? At the beginning of your upkeep.
Oh, whoopsies.
No, it's not whenever it becomes tapped. Yeah, that's confusing. I missed that. But, no, so I think
extra turn spells.
Right, extra turn spells or any control deck. So you want this in decks that want the game to go long so that you can draw the game out for at least 8 turns.
Or that one card that gives you another upkeep.
Oh, Paradox Haze. Yeah, really good with Paradox Haze. Yeah. So if this is in a deck that already wants to repeat upkeeps with like send triplets or whatever, that combos really well with Paradox Haze. No, Replicating Ring, I feel like in Commander could end up being really cool if you can take the game long and you just get 9 mana rocks.
That's just insane. And then on top of the lands that you accumulated throughout the turns, that's just like boatloads of mana.
Right. If this comes down turn 3, you can have, assuming you've done no other ramping, you get, I believe, 22 mana on turn 11.
Wow.
Kind of a lot. Yeah. No, turn 12. Well, that's pretty cool. We've got Quakebringer, which is 3 red for a creature giant berserker. Your opponents can't gain life. Good to see. At the beginning of your upkeep, Quakebringer deals 2 damage to each opponent. This ability triggers only if Quakebringer is on the battlefield or Quakebringer is in your graveyard and you control a giant. And it has Foretell for 2 red. So Foretell means you can... Sorry, let me pull up the rules deck. During your turn, you may pay 2 and exile this card from your hand face down. Cast it on a later turn for its Foretell cost. and it's a 5/4. So basically, on turn 2, you could play this face down into exile for 2 mana, and then on turn 4, you can play it as a 5/4 that at the beginning of your upkeep snipes your opponents for 2. Your opponents can't gain life, and it'll continue to snipe your opponent for 2 if it's in your graveyard. You control something like a Bonecrusher Giant.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I mean,
think that's pretty good.
It doesn't have all the keywords of, like, Questing Beast.
Yeah.
And it's more mana.
I think it's a good finisher. Like, if they're...
Yeah.
Like, game, like, everyone's at 10 HP, you just play this out and you have a giant in your graveyard, right?
Oh, no, if you have a Quakebringer in your graveyard. Yeah, oh. And you have the giant on the battlefield.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty good.
Right, the fact that it can continually give you a source of damage, as we've learned from cards like... What's the red-green? Oh, Clothis. Clothis can win you so many games because it just is an indestructible thing that sits on the battlefield. And some decks can't beat just a 2 damage every turn.
Mm-hmm.
They can kill all your stuff, but if Quakebringer can somehow repeatedly snipe damage... I don't see this being in, like, the mono-red aggro deck in Standard or Historic. I don't think it's good enough or fast enough.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that turn 5, turn 4, you want to be Ember Cleaving, not playing another big creature that just dies from removal.
Yeah, I can see that.
Alright, next, we've got a commander. Why don't you read the Boat Spirit?
Vega the Watcher. I hope. So.
Those were not difficult words. I believe you said those both correctly.
One colorless, a white and a blue. Legendary creature, bird spirit, flying. Whenever you cast a spell from anywhere other than your hand, draw a card, 2/2. I don't think it's a commander in like my I don't think it's a commander in for a deck, but I think it's a good card in some decks, not like
it's good in decks that want to cast things not from your hand. I can't think of very many, right? It's in the wrong colors. You want this to be in red.
Does Sun Triplets work?
Yes. It's really good in Sun Triplets.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good in Sun Triplets. Yeah, but I feel like that. Why can't this be in red white?
Yeah, that would be a lot better if it was.
Or blue red. Blue red would be way better because red you get the experimental frenzy type codes.
Yeah, and like
stolen strategy. Like, yeah. I'm not sure. I don't think this is good in these colors. I mean, it's designed to work with Fortel, right? I think that's how it's supposed to be.
I can see, like, in draft. It probably won't be that good in draft.
It's a Windrake that occasionally draws you a card. If we learned anything from Windrider Wizard from Zendikar, we know that Windrakes that give you card selection are very good, but I don't think Vega's nearly as good as Windrider Wizard was, especially because it squirrels you into white-blue so early in the draft, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wouldn't see myself taking this in draft from what I've seen from the set so far. Not picking it early, at least. All right, next we've got Issika's Chariot, which is 3 and a green for a legendary artifact vehicle. When it ETBs, create 2/2 cat green cat creature tokens. And whenever Issika's Chariot attacks, create a token that's a copy of target token you control. Crew 4. Have we ever seen that wording before? Create a copy that's... Create a token that's a copy of target token you control.
I mean, that's just proliferate.
Populate. Yeah.
Or populate.
That's just populate. That would be so much easier. Why didn't they just say populate?
They want to make it more complicated. It does look very cute, though.
I mean, you don't want to keyword it, but yeah.
There's a kitten riding in a carriage.
Like, and the carriage is like made of books. It's very cute.
You could not get much cuter than that.
Two cats riding in a book carriage. Yeah, I agree. I think this is way too slow.
Yeah.
It's not great in Commander.
Like, you're not going to... What are you going to copy with that?
I mean you're copying the 2/2s, right? I'm not sure I would even play this in the Geared Populate deck, which is kind of concerning.
Just because Populate is way more consistent and, like, you have, like, some cards that whenever you cast a spell, you get to populate. Like,
right, I would play Song of the World Soul over this every time. I mean, The fact that you have to wait a whole turn cycle, then you have to crew it with for four. I mean, I get it's flavorful. The two cats crew the chariot, right? Good in draft, though. Really good in draft. Four mana for two 2/2s, and then later you can crew it and start pumping out 2/2s every turn. That's really good.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, next card.
Should I read it off?
Yeah.
Rally the Ranks. One colorless and a white enchantment. When it ETBs, choose a creature type. You can creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1. I like this for Sliver, but only that.
Yeah, I don't think this is good anywhere. Why does this card exist? Yeah. I mean, it feels like it should have already existed, right?
Yeah. But
why like wouldn't you just pay one more mana for Glorious Anthem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like this anywhere.
Make Elephant Tribal, though.
I don't like this anywhere.
You're gonna feel it when I make Elephant Tribal.
Next, no, because it's our true glory. Two and a white.
Everyone will feel my wrath.
The Elephant Tribal.
The elephants rallying together.
Rally the ranks of the elephants. All right. Is that a reprint? I could be completely wrong. Is that a reprint?
Rally the Ranks?
No, it is not a reprint. Okay.
I didn't think so because it doesn't have any money.
Like, yeah. All right. Now we've got Search for Glory, which is two and a white for Snow Sorcery. First time we've ever seen that. Search your library for a Snow Permanent card, Legendary card, or Saga card. Reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. You gain life for each Snow mana spent to cast the spell. I still don't know how this is going to work in draft. It's a rare. We don't really need... Rares are generally good in draft. But, this just seems... not good. I mean, you can... Searching for a Snow Permanent card is just not great. You could use it to tutor up Dark Depths, though.
I mean, it's a legendary... Does the legendary and the saga have to be a Snow Permanent?
No, Snow Permanent card, Legendary card, or Saga card. So
yeah, in some cases, that's like a free tutor for like...
Yeah, I mean, it can tutor for Legendary card. That's the thing I'm most interested in. I'm not sure you're tutoring for your Saga, unless you're tutoring for Fall of the Thrand to blow up all the lands in white. But yeah, 3-mana tutor for a Legendary card, I'm not going to complain about that. Gain 3 life is, just gravy. Yeah, I guess it's fine. I can't think of any great use for this. I still think Talia's Lancers is going to be better than this, which is just the same thing, but 5 mana, but it comes with a 4/4 first strike. Yeah.
I'm very educated in my cards, as you can tell.
Well, no, I just know Talia's Lancers because it's in my rune deck, and it's one of the better cards in my deck because I play lots of legendary creatures. All right, yeah, we can skip those ones. Why don't you talk about Saw It Coming?
Okay, Saw It Coming. One colorless, 2 blue, instant, counter target spell, and then you can foretell for 1 and a blue. Which, if you remember, foretell is you have to pay 2 colorless, and then later you can pay the 1 and a blue to cast it.
Right, so later on it's just counterspell, but it's, over time it's a 3 and a blue investment. I don't know, do you think this is better than just... counterspell?
I mean, when I'm like playing with my friends, and I usually play one deck that I like for like maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and if I have one foretell card and I keep playing it, they're gonna figure out what that one card is, and they're gonna be like, oh, it's a counter target spell. Now, in my case scenario, this is like not that good, but in others, maybe. I just feel like there's already a card that's a common that's this, and it's the exact same, almost except the foretell, which it makes it a bit better, but not really.
Wait, which card? Which?
I think it's just counter. Wait, no, not
counterspell is blue-blue, so I don't think this is better than counterspell.
Yeah.
Counterspell is just blue-blue counter target spell. Yeah, I think counterspell is still better. I don't know. Saw Coming's fine as a budget replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... the real reason why I like this card is because now they have to think about, is your foretell card Saw It Coming?
Yeah. It's like, I'm gonna pay two instant speed, just dead. Doesn't even have to be two blue.
Right, and then it turns out it's actually... Or you slam it, and then they're like trying to play around the saw it coming, and it's just God's Hall Guardian. The 3-6 the hotel.
Bruh.
Alright, now we have Dragon's Nest Berserker, which is 1 in red for a creature human Berserker, 2/2, full strike. Both abilities you activate cost 1 less to cast, or 1 less to activate for each dragon you control. Boast, who 4 in red, create a 5/5 red dragon creature token with flying. Activate this ability only if this creature attacked this turn and only once per turn.
I think that this is really good late game, like for
just paying a red every time it attacks to get a 5/5.
Yeah, especially in like Dragon Tribal. Like my friend has been wanting to, but I think he gave up just because it costs way too much money.
Oh, dragon,
and it's way
yeah.
too much colors. It's just a lot.
The mana bases are expensive for those dragon decks.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is really good in like Lathless Dragon Queen, which is a good mm-hmm. budget dragon deck. Although I don't know how many non-dragons you want. Like, Dragonlord Sovin is, like, the one that you want. Or, yeah, I think yeah. that's what it is. Your amount of creatures that you have in the deck that are not dragons are limited. Alright, now we're going to talk about some of the cards that were spoiled earlier this week. We have Halvar, God of Battle, which is two white for a legendary creature god. Creatures you control that are enchanted or equipped have double strike. At the beginning of each combat, you may attach target aura or equipment attached to target creature you control. Oh, yeah, to target creature you control. So it has to already be attached, and then you can move it over. It's also a 4/4, but it doesn't have indestructible, which is different from most of the gods. Why don't you read the other side of Halvar?
Sword of the Realms, 1 in white. Equipped creature has +0/+0 and has vigilance. Whenever equipped creature dies, return it to its owner's hand, equipped for 1 in white.
So basically, either do you want a 4/4 that has marginal upside, or pay 4 mana for a 2+2+0 vigilance?
There was like this article I saw, I think, and it was like a story of the sword. It's like it could vanquish like many beasts at one time. It was the sword among gods. This is like +2 in vigilance.
+2+0. It's just so lackluster for this mythic rare artifact, for this mythic yeah. rare equipment, and it's just like bad. Okay, I think Halvar is neat. If you want an equipment to be your commander, I think it's bad everywhere else.
Yeah.
Alright, now we have... you can read this one. This one's fun.
I like this one. I can't bring it out. Al runs. Empathy?
Epiphany.
No, empathy. No, it's not...
Epiphany.
Epiphany. I keep putting the TH. 5 colorless, 2 blue, sorcery. Create 2/1/1 bird creature tokens with flying. Take an extra turn after this one. Exile whatever I just said.
Exile whatever I just said, yes.
Foretell, 4/2 blue, and then you also have to pay the 2. I like this card because I'm Yuriko, mostly. But I just think it's a decent card in that aspect because you can either do it early or you can get it off the top, and you also have those 2/1 ones that later.
Oh, it's
you can
so Yuriko good in Yuriko because you can ninjutsu yeah. the flyer. That's
yeah.
This card was like handmade for Yuriko because you want expensive cards that can be cast for less, check. You want flyers, check. You want extra tones, so not looking forward to seeing this flipped off the top of the deck. Next one, we've got Alrund, God of the Cosmos, 3 blue-blue legendary creature god, 1/1. Alrund gets +1/+1 for each card in your hand and each foretold card you own in exile. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose a card type, then reveal the top 2 cards in your library, put all cards of the chosen type into your hand, and the rest on bottom in of your library in any order. So this is...
Flip side.
Yeah, flip side.
I'll read it. Haka Whispering Raven. One colorless and a blue, legendary creature bird. Flying whenever Raven deals combat damage to a player, whenever he deals combat damage to a player, return it to his owner's hand, then scry 2. 2/3.
That's fine, I guess, because then you can have, you're right, you can have Hawke play it on turn 2, have it swing in for 2, scry 2, yeah, and then it returns to your hand so you can later play it as Outland.
I guess. It should have, I know that's not in blue, but I feel like it should have haste. It'd be better.
It'd be way better. Yeah, it would be way better if it had haste. Because it's so slow, like, it has to wait a whole rotation of the table. It doesn't do anything when it comes in. I don't know, as a mythic rare bird, you'd expect more out of it. I guess, I think the bad thing about all the gods we've seen that thus far is that they're all just not very good.
Yeah, especially on the flip side. They're just like, why would you play the flip side?
Right.
Just,
I feel like the MDFCs, mythic MDFCs that we already have, like Shatter Skull Smashing, are so much better because the land is actually worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we've got Valky, God of Lies, which may or may not be everyone's favorite meme walker. One in a black for a legendary creature god, 2/1. When Valky enters the battlefield, each opponent reveals their hand. For each opponent, exile a creature card they revealed this way until Valky leaves the battlefield. Pay X. This is an activated ability. Choose a creature card exiled with Valky with converted mana cost X. Valky becomes a copy of that card. It doesn't keep that ability, though, so you can only use that once, and then it just turns into it permanently.
Yeah. I mean, would Yara copy that? You can't even play it because of the flip side, but technically...
Even though we're thinking of it in the context of Yarok, but...
Exactly.
Yeah, it would copy it. I don't believe either. Oh, okay, well, you still gotta read the other side.
Oh, at least my... It's so long, but at least my man Tybalt is back.
Yeah.
I love Tybalt. Five colorless Rakdos. As Tybalt ETBs, you get an emblem with... You may play cards exiled with Tybalt, Cosmic Imposter, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast those spells. +2, exile the top card of each player's library. -3, exile target artifact or creature. -8, exile all cards from all graveyards, add 3 mana. And he starts with 5 loyalty.
That ultimate is very bad, but combined with the static is quite
That's
good.
Like the worst ultimate.
The issue is that if you use it on 8, if it only has 8, if Tybalt only has 8 loyalty and then you use it, it's just absolutely useless. It's just...
Yeah.
It's just Bajuka Bog, but then add 3 red.
Ooh,
I mean, it's good
with
the static, though.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, none of these cards are good. Like, why? It's just bad. Because you can't... I wish you could cast them without paying their mana cost. That would make it so much better.
Wait, oh, okay. I was like, wait a second. You want to just be like, you can cast Tybalt in general without paying
no,
its mana
no,
cost?
No, the card's exiled with Tybalt. I don't know.
I
don't think
it's not
really
like
good.
Crazy big Rakdos things that I can think of. Totally.
Yeah. You get mana of any color, but still, I don't think it's very good. All right, now we have...
There should also, in that case, there should be like a downside, like -2 life or something.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you read our next code?
Goldspan Dragon. Three colorless, 2 red, creature dragon, believe it or not. Flying haste. When it attacks or becomes the target of spell, create a treasure token. Treasures you control have tap, sack this artifact, add 2 mana of any one color.
Ooh, it's really good. I mean, it comes down and it makes 2 of that mana back.
4/4.
Such a bomb in limited, though.
That's pretty
five
good.
5 mana, 4/4 flying haste. I mean, we all know Glorybringer. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
This is really good.
Just the treasures, in some cases, you can, like, go crazy with that with Smothering Tithe. If you go, like,
that's really good with Smothering Tithe, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now we've got Asika, God of the Tree. One green, green for a legendary creature god. 1/4 vigilance. Tap, add one mana of any color. Other legendary creatures you control have vigilance, and tap, add one mana of any color. Why don't you read the flip side, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's a lot. Okay. Was Wooburg, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Okay, the Prismatic Bridge Wooburg, which is every color. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature or a planeswalker card. Put that card onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
If you hit the good cards, then it's really good.
Yeah.
I think you play this in, like, the big chonkers deck with Joda, where, like, all your cards
are I think it's pretty huge. Good, because, like, if you have... If you're playing a five-color deck, you're gonna get five colors eventually, but the guy of the tree helps that at the beginning, and then you can't, like, bounce... Well, you could bounce it back somehow.
Well, the good thing is if your commander dies, then you can play it as the other side.
Yeah. And that's just pretty good, still.
I think I like the idea of not Asika. Asika's just kind of meh as a commander, but the Prismatic Bridge is your commander. That's so cool. Like, you just pay Wooburg on 4, and then the next turn you can just only have huge, gigantic creatures. That seems like a very fun deck that I think people are going to play.
Yeah.
Now we have Vorniclex. Monstrous Raider. So the Phyrexians made it. I guess we know who the next big baddies on the Magic Store are going to be. 4 green green. Legendary creature Phyrexian Praetor. 6/6. Trample haste. If you would put one or more counters on a permanent or player, put twice that many of those counters on that permanent or player instead. And if an opponent would put counters on some stuff, they put half that many rounded down.
I just realized, is this like a mini doubling season?
It's complete doubling season. It's doubling season for you and halving season for everyone else.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, all your 1/1 counters are nothing.
How much is doubling season? Is it like $40?
Yeah, it's just one more mana. Plus it is a 6/6 trample haste, which is actually kind of bad. It's easier to remove. The reason why doubling season is so good is because it's so hard to remove.
Mm-hmm. Decent.
It just feels bad. I mean, it feels really good for you. Just sucks for your opponents if they're like, they play their Planeswalker and it just comes in with half loyalty.
That's so funny. And like, Planeswalker Tribal, do you think it'd be decent?
Play this as a hate piece to Atraxa. Just like, you don't get to do anything. Alright, now we have Kaya the Inexorable, which is 3 white black, legendary creature Kaya for 5 mana, planeswalker, and you can +1 Kaya, put a ghost form counter on up to one target non-token creature. It gains whenever this creature dies or put it into exile, return it to its owner's hand, and create a 1/1 white spirit creature token to flying. -3, exile token non-land permanent, and -7, you get an emblem with at the beginning of your upkeep. You may cast a legendary spell from your hand, your graveyard, or among cards you own in exile without paying their mana cost. That's really good. The ultimate. It's never going to get there, but even just the +1 is not bad. Just being able to give stuff pseudo protection. And then the -3.
It's not going to last for 4 turns.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, it would need to last. Right, 4 turns if you wanted to survive. Yeah, it's just another random planeswalker. I don't think it's very good.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I'll read.
You can read that. Yeah, this is cool. This one's really cool.
Coma Cosmos Serpent, 3 colorless, Simic times 2, so 2 green, 2 blue. Legendary creature serpent. This spell cannot be countered. At the beginning of each upkeep, create a 3/3 blue serpent creature token named Coma's Coil. Sacrifice another serpent. Choose one. Tap target permanent. Its activated abilities can't be activated this turn. Coma Cosmos Serpent gains indestructible until end of turn 6/6. I think that's pretty good.
Seems every upkeep. I mean, this is just an absolute bomb in draft, obviously. If you ever resolve this in draft and it survives the turn rotation,
you win.
You just win. You just get a 3/3 every turn. The fact that Coma protects itself is, like, just so stupid. Like, you can never kill it. You can exile
it's
it,
just
but
a dream trawler, pretty much. It's, I'm a
yeah. It's like dream trawl. Yeah, and it can't be countered.
Yeah, it can't be. It's a lot like dream trawler.
It's the same like dream trawler.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have lifelink, so at least it's not that bad. But.
I also think that the activated abilities thing is kind of good because you can do that like on.
Yeah, just being able to arrest things. Like if they have a giant beater, you just save yourself from it. All right, now we've got Nico Aris, first non-binary planeswalker in Magic. Big accomplishment. Nico is X, white, blue, blue. They're legendary planeswalker Nico. 3 loyalty. When Nico Aris enters the battlefield, create X shard tokens. Enchantments with pay 2, sacrifice this enchantment, scry 1, then draw a card. So you can pay 2 and sack it to opt, basically. Plus 1, up to 1 target creature you control can't be blocked this turn. When that creature deals damage this turn, return it to its owner's hand. Minus 1, Nico Aris deals 2 damage to target tapped creature for each card you've drawn this turn. And minus 1, create a shard token. None of these abilities are particularly good.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, cool, you played a planeswalker. I'll let you use an ability and then I'll kill you. Or right. I'll kill it.
Yeah, they're fine. I mean,
you don't even have to kill it next turn. I don't know how much it's going to do. Like, they get to scry 3 over time and draw a card.
I mean, it's pretty neat if you play Nico for like X equals 10.
Yeah.
Imagine that with like Constellation. So I think that I take it back. This is good in Constellation decks. So like Estrid type builds. Estrid to Vasa.
Oh, I didn't know that the shards were enchantments.
Shards are enchantments,
I guess.
Yeah.
A little bit better.
Yeah. All right. I think we're going to pause right there. We will pick up. I might be with Ethan. I might be with Charlie, but we'll talk about the rest of the cards that have been spoiled up until this point. Coming to you within the next couple of days. We wanted to keep this episode nice and short. But that's our first look at Kaldheim, and I think it's going to be great. I think this is going to be a very fun set. Nothing seems like it's completely breaking the game, but again, I did not say Oko was going to break the game, and I didn't think Oko was going to break the game until it did.
I didn't hear that from you, Ezra. I never heard that you thought that Oko, quote-unquote, was not going to break the
game. I thought Oko was fine. The first time I saw it, I'm like, that's not very good.
It's a decent card.
I think it's fine, but it just makes food tokens. Whatever, it's just a fun card. And then it broke Magic the Gathering. Well, even
like snow permanents. Watch out, Commander players.
Yeah, snow is coming back. This looks like a great set. I would be very surprised if Wizards somehow messed it up from what we've seen so far. They're just saving the Oko of the set for last.
Exactly. We'll pick another Oko.
All right. Thank you so much, Ethan.
Black Lotus.
Yeah, Black Lotus. Thank you so much, Ethan, for coming on the show.
No problem.
Yeah, hopefully we will see you soon and have you back on the show. It was nice having you, and thank you to all the listeners. If you would like to contact us, you can email us at youngpyrocast@gmail.com. Please leave a review, like, share, subscribe. Tell a friend, please. That is the number one way you can help our podcast. And yeah, fill up that mailbag if you have any questions for us. And we will see you all next time. Thank you so much for listening. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.